This morning we have a special video we want to share with you moms, but before we do, I just want to give the guys in the sound booth a minute to get ready. I wanted to first say again, happy Mother's Day to all of you moms. How many moms here present? Wow, a lot of wonderful women here in the room. Praise God. Well, let's take a minute to pray for you and any of you husbands or men that are around. Maybe you could put your hand on one of the mom's shoulders, or kids, you could put your hand on your mom's shoulder. And let's just pray for the moms here in the room. Father, we thank you so much for moms, every one of them so special. And we're just so grateful, God, that you've blessed us. Whether our moms have already departed, we had a time and a season with them, or our moms that are here with us, Lord, here on the earth. And we just are so grateful for the treasure that you've given us in moms. Moms aren't perfect people, no one is, but they are a gift from you. And we're just so grateful, Lord, that you've blessed us with wonderful moms and good influences in our lives. I pray for every mom here, so special, and you love each one with all your heart, God. You gave your son, your life, for every mom here, and I just pray you continue to bless them on this special day and every day, that they would sense your comfort and your strength as they deal with so many different responsibilities. I pray that they would sense your comfort and strength every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you, moms. I pray that you have a wonderful day in the Lord. We're going to go ahead and show this video, and I hope that you enjoy it. Go ahead and show the video.
This spring, only one hero can save her family and prevent disaster.
Mom, we're gonna be late for school.
I don't think so.
Whoa.
Experience the phenomenon that critics are calling inspiring.
Mom, I can't find number 17.
Come on, Billy. Dig deep.
A lot of fun. And pure genius.
Mom, where's my phone?
Table.
Keys.
Bedroom.
Dragon Man.
Under the couch between the monkey and the flip-flop.
How does she do that?
Created by God to demonstrate his love with grace, elegance, and poise.
Well, this morning I want to focus on moms, and it's appropriate because today obviously is Mother's Day, and there's many special women here among us, and so I just wanted to focus pretty much all of my comments and things on moms and moms' influence, because moms have been given a wonderful role, and they're very influential as wives and as moms. And so I wanted to start out with just some quotes, and then we'll get into the message. This is going to be a unique message in the sense that it won't follow the normal structure of the messages that I share with you on a regular basis. But for you moms, when you feel your influence is not appreciated by your children. Billy Graham, he said this, only God himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the molding of character in her children. And even though a child perhaps will never experience your love or appreciate the amount and the depth of your love, they certainly will experience your love. And maybe there'll be times where you will feel that you're not appreciated. You know, God doesn't miss anything in all your efforts and prayers for your children. Truly, only God can appreciate it. And we pray that our kids, as they grow, that they would really come to appreciate more and more your love and your influence. When you feel like the enemy is trying to get a hold of your child, that's a very difficult thing. And it could be a season. Billy Sunday, he said this, "Don't believe that there are enough devils in hell to pull a child out of an arm of a godly mother." You know, don't believe it. Don't believe that your child is lost. Have hope. With God, all things are possible. And when a child, or when you feel like a child will never get it, D.L. Moody, he said, "The impression that a praying mother leaves upon her children is lifelong. And perhaps when you are dead and gone, your prayers will be answered." Now, that might seem a little sad for some. I don't want to be dead and gone. But hey, if your prayers are answered, that's the main thing. Now, George Washington, he said this about his mom: "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." It was Abraham Lincoln who said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." It was Charles Spurgeon who said, "I cannot tell you how much I owe to the solemn word of my good mother." Now, the scriptures tell us in Proverbs chapter 31 this about moms and virtuous women, but moms. And I share these with you. It's Proverbs 31, verses 25 through 30. Here, under the inspiration of God, it is written, "Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come." Which gives the idea that initially there's a lot of hard work and maybe pain and suffering in the process of being a good, virtuous woman and mother. But it will pay off. All your hard work will pay off, and joy and rejoicing will come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and praises her. "Many daughters have done well, but you, godly mom, you excel above them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, and godly women know this. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." Now, I've shared several different quotes. I've even quoted out of the scriptures. We'll continue into the scriptures, but I want to share with you this morning the best quote ever. The best quote ever given by a mom. That's the title of this morning's message, "The Best Quote Ever." Can you guess who it was that said it? Well, this is what she said: "Whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it." And of course, this was Mary, the mother of Jesus, that I'm quoting. And she had said this early in Jesus' ministry, I mean, right in the beginning, to some servants. Again, she said, "Whatever he says to you, do it." I wonder what Jesus has to say to you, not just you moms, but to each one of you. I wonder what Jesus has been saying to some of you, and you've been struggling. You've been having a hard time with what the Lord has been speaking to you. And you know it's the Lord, because when it's the Lord, there's something about his voice that it penetrates through everything and reaches the deepest part of who you are. And it touches you in a place where no one else can, and it's in the Spirit, and you know that it's the Lord, but there's times where, you know, God is reaching out and God is speaking, and we just have a hard time. We can have a hard time. And so I hope and I pray that the words of this very special mom, the mom of our Lord, will be of help for you and will encourage you as we continue through. We're going to be looking at John chapter 2, so I want to draw your attention to John chapter 2. And as we continue to look through the text itself, and as you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and pray once again and just ask that God would minister to your hearts. Hey, you know that I'm just an ordinary individual. There's nothing special about me. You know that.
No.
And, I appreciate you. But for the rest of you, or perhaps for most of you, you know that there's absolutely nothing special about me. Those of you who know me more, you know that to be truer. And I'm being honest here. I truly am being honest. I'm just an ordinary person. I really can't do anything. But I believe in the one who can do everything. And so I'm going to ask you to do the same thing that I'm doing. As we're going through the scriptures, I can't really help you. I can't do anything. But I believe in the Savior who died for us, and the one who, for him, nothing is impossible. And so I'm believing that he is going to do the work here. Not a man, but the Master. And as weird as you might think I am, for those of you who maybe aren't believers, when I tell you that I truly believe the Lord is among us, and you might think, whoa. I truly believe that the Lord is among us. And once we believe, we couple faith with his word, and we really truly have the desire to learn of him, he does work in our hearts and he changes us. So it requires faith to listen to the word of God. If you're not going to have faith, if you're not going to believe, unfortunately, you're going to miss out on what God wants to do here among us. But I don't want that for any of you, so I'm asking, I'm pleading. Please believe in the words of Christ and in the word of God that we'll be reading today. And I believe that the Spirit of God is going to minister to your heart. Remember what Jesus said. He said, seek and you will find. Ask, and it will be given to you. Knock, and the door will be open. And that's our responsibility. That's really what we're doing here. We're seeking, we're asking, we're knocking, God, and we're asking that you would please do the work here among us. Every one of us, we're looking to you, Lord. Apart from you, we can do nothing, Lord. And so, Jesus, please do the work. I know I can't see you with my human eye, but I believe that you are here among us in the Spirit. And you do the work in our hearts. And we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 2, We'll begin in verse 1. We'll read through the text, and then I just have a few comments to share with you. Here, John records, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus, she said to him, "Hey, they have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what is your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now, there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he did not know where it came from. But the servants who had drawn the water, they knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Hey, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." And then verse 11 says, "This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." Now, my intent is not to get into the whole wine and all of those things. I want to focus more on Mary and just some of the things that we can observe from her as we've read this text. The first thing that I want to point out is how Mary, she brought a care. She brought a problem to Jesus. You know, and perhaps Mary by this time, tradition holds that, as I said, by this time, Joseph had already passed. And so Jesus, being her oldest son, was very used to going to Jesus whenever there was different needs. It's supposed that this is the case. And so this wasn't an unusual thing for her, but nevertheless, she had a concern. There was a problem. And, you know, in that culture and at that time, to run out of wine at a wedding would be a major embarrassment for the family. And I don't know the connection, the relationship, but nevertheless, Mary was involved in helping, as so often women are involved in helping and serving. And she certainly didn't want the wedding to be a flop. And so she had a great concern and a great problem. But she, as a mom, left a wonderful example, in a sense, for you and for me. Because she brought her problem to the one who could fix the problem. Really, the only one. And what a blessing it is, and what a wonderful example to see in a mom, that when she has her troubles or her problems, she goes to Jesus. And so Mary, she went to Jesus with her problem. Now, the second thing is that Mary believed that Jesus would help, even though she didn't know how. I mean, how was he going to help? It's not like the disciples all had a 12-pack of wine on them. I don't want to be irreverent, but it's not like it's easy to get wine. She didn't know what he was going to do, but she knew he would do what was right. That he would help. She knew he would help and do what was right, and he would do it his way. Now, you know, for moms to trust other people, it's tough. I wouldn't recommend to trust people to do things their own way. But when it comes to Jesus, even though a person may not know how the Lord is going to work something out, we do know this, that God will always do things his way, and his way is always the best way. And it's beautiful to see the faith that Mary had in her son. Not in a human sense, but I believe she knew that her son was divine. She knew who he was. I mean, she had an encounter before he was born with an angel, and she knew who he was. And she raised him, and he was a perfect kid. Could you imagine having a perfect kid, moms? Probably would be boring. I don't know. It's just none of us would ever know what it's like to have a perfect kid. So you should be comforted if you don't have perfect children. Be comforted, Mom, because no one else does either. No other mother has perfect kids. And even when it looks like the ideal kid, you just never know. And moms and dads and us who are adults, none of us were perfect either. I wasn't a perfect kid. So what's the consistent thing about all of us here? I don't know. I'm just asking. I don't know. What is it?
We're sinners.
Yeah. More than we know. So we're a bunch of imperfect people. That's not the point. But it is good to know that there is a perfect one. And there is a perfect one that we can always go to and know that he's going to help, and his way is the best way. And Mary, she had that faith. She had the faith that he was going to help. You know, with Jesus' reply initially, when you think of his reply, it's hard to understand that reply. You know, what does your request have to do with me? I mean, that's hard to get. And I'm sure it wasn't what we might pick up initially. You know, there's so much speculation that can take place, but we choose not to, at least I choose not to this morning, but the fact is the same, is that she believed that he would help. And then Mary, the third thing that I want to share with you is that she acted. She acted on faith and not feelings. Because to that reply, my initial response was like, whoa. But I know the Lord, and I know the character of the Lord. And here's a principle. When God doesn't respond the way you think he should, you always go by character, his character. You always go by what you know to be true about him. So when you feel something that you might not understand about the way God's handling something or the timing of God's, you know, plan for the situation, don't let your feelings get involved. Let your faith be dominant. And the facts that you know about God's character, let that rule out. So focus on what you do know when you are struggling with what you don't know. Now, Mary, she acted on faith, not on feelings. We don't see her getting offended. We don't see her saying, you know, Jesus, I've been taking care of you. It's been hard since Joseph is gone, and you're rude. You know, I'm trying to help out here at this wedding and be a problem solver. And you know, how can you reply to your mom like that? And then go sit in a chair really unhappy and start crying and crying and crying and crying. She didn't get offended. We don't see her getting angry. Jesus, how dare you? I'm your mother. We don't see her getting emotional. Oh, son, no, in front of everybody you said that. I mean, we don't see her getting emotional. No, she got inspired. Really, she could tell. And that's one thing about mom and women in general. Man, God's given you keen insight into things. Sometimes it's funny. It is so funny because I'll look at the same situation as Nina, my wonderful wife, and I think, I know. And I'm like, this is what I think. This is what I... And then she'll say, I don't see it like that at all. And I'm like, oh, you're going to be so wrong. Watch you. And she'll tell me just... And I'm not embarrassed to say because I've grown to really appreciate it, but she's generally 100% accurate. Man, it's amazing. And I've learned to understand what the scripture says when the scripture says she is your help, mate. You need help, mate. And she is your help, mate. And husbands, you be wise to embrace it when you got a good, godly, wise wife to embrace the insights. And women in general just have wonderful insight, insight into their children. And Mary, she knew that the way that even though initially or the way we see it from what we see, we weren't there. It's like, what does your request have to do with me? It's not my time yet. She knew. She knew he was going to do something. And that motivated her. That inspired her. That motivated her. And then comes the best quote ever in all history. And every good mother will always tell their children, whatever Jesus says to you, do it. Do it. Now, it might not make sense to you. Do it. You might think you know better. Do it. Just do it. Sorry. I should have thought that through more. Not everyone's going to get it, and I don't have time to explain. And so she tells the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And you know, just to throw this in, this is what real servants of Christ do. You know a real servant of Christ because you'll see whatever he says to do, they do it. It doesn't necessarily mean they do it perfectly, but they're striving. They're striving to do what Jesus says. And you know what's beautiful? Anybody can be a servant of God. God doesn't exclude people. I think sometimes the lower you are, the greater potential you have in Christ. Because God can reach the lowest of lowest people. And we all find ourselves at different places, but some have gotten so low in life, so dark, so hopeless, so desperate. And Jesus can reach the individual at the lowest lows. And there's great potential for them, perhaps even greater. Remember, the one woman says, because she's been forgiven much. Jesus said this about her. Because she's been forgiven much, she loves much. What is the greatest thing that... The greatest commandments? We think serving, maybe vacuuming, or maybe sweeping in the church, or maybe doing some kind of service in the church is the greatest. But God says the greatest is to love. Yeah. And see, Jesus, he has a way of forgiving people, but his forgiveness, when it's really experienced, there is life transformation. Mm-hmm. And the Lord can take anyone, even at their lowest, and God can use anyone to serve him. And I love that about the Lord. You might feel like you can't turn to God. That's not true. Just take what Mary said. Whatever he says to you, just do it. Just do it. And you'll see how the life, your life is transformed. Now, Mary, she was a godly woman, even from her youth, a godly mom. And so this we can say for certain in regards to Mary. Mary would never direct anyone to do anything that was wrong. I mean, that might be the most basic thought, but nevertheless, knowing her character, she would never direct anyone to do anything wrong because she herself was godly. So what I mean by that, for her to direct people to do whatever Jesus says, she knows that anything and everything Jesus said would be right and good. She knew the personal character of Jesus. I mean, she spent his whole life, she spent nurturing him and loving him, taking care of him. And as he grew, she saw his character and his love for God. You remember, at 12 years old, Jesus was in the temple, and Jesus was, you know, in a sense, you know, going full on with the religious leaders, and they were baffled. They were baffled at his wisdom and his knowledge as a 12-year-old boy. Could you imagine? I bet you Jesus could get up here at 12 years old and blow us away. We would be, Pastor, never get back up there again. Jesus, you stay. And that's the way we would love it. And one day that's what's going to happen. He's going to rule and reign. So she knew his character. And so this is why she could direct anyone, any servant, anyone, whosoever. She could direct anyone to do whatever he says. And Mary, she said to the servant, do whatever Jesus says. Whatever? Yes, whatever. Whatever. Because anything and everything that Jesus says to do is always for your good, for my good. Always. You know, it's interesting because when it comes to the miracle, and there was a miracle, the water was turned into wine. Do you know when the miracle happened? The miracle happened not in the knowing. The miracle happened in the doing. When they did what he said, that's when the miracle took place. That's when miracles take place. That's when changes take place, is in the doing, not in the knowing. There's so many people that know about God and know about the Word of God, but when it comes to doing, they don't do. Remember what Jesus told the disciples after he washed their feet? He said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So the miracles happen in the doing. The blessings happen in the doing. And whatever Jesus says to do, it's possible, even when it seems impossible to us. The impossible to us is very possible for us because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, and these are just some lessons that we learn from looking at Mary's life. You know, so I don't know, moms or anyone, what you came here with today. Maybe you have a care, you have a problem. I urge you to follow Mary's example. Bring your problem, bring that care to Jesus. And believe that Jesus is going to help you. It might not be the way you think. It might not be in your timing, but But don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. Even if right now it might look like Jesus is not even listening, or he's not responding, or he's responding, God's responding in a way where you might even feel like, do you even care? Remember when the disciples felt that way, when they were in the storm? Jesus was the only one who could calm the storm in their lives, and he's the only one that can calm the storm in your life, and you just hang in there. Don't act on feelings while you're waiting. Act on facts. Act on the Word of God. Act on the Word of God. Don't act on how you feel. Act on the Word of God. And remember, as we close, whatever Jesus says to do, do it. The miracle will come. The change will take place. The blessings come in the doing. I love you guys. I pray that you have a blessed day and know that Jesus loves you. You are very, very special to him. Very special to him. And I want you to leave here remembering the greatest quote ever. What is it? Whatever he says to you to do, do it. Do it. Father, we thank you for your word, your love, your mercy, your grace, your kindness. We thank you for the joy that we have because of you. I pray, God, that you would pour out your blessings over your people. I thank you for everyone that's here and for everyone that's come to visit. I pray that you would just bless them. And I pray that the rest of this day would be one that's filled with your comfort, your peace, and your joy. And Lord, I thank you that no matter where we are, no matter how far or deep far we might be from you, or how deep of a struggle we might be going through, or there's nothing too difficult for you. And I pray, Lord, that as we've heard the message, we've heard words of encouragement, and we felt your spirit prod us at different times, I pray for everyone here that throughout this day and throughout this week, we would take the things that we've heard to heart, and that we would believe that you can help us no matter where we are. You're the only one that we can turn to. And we thank you, God, that we're never, never, never alone, because you are always there. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen.